How did you start with podcasts? You know, what's going on with the podcast? How did you even, like, from genetics to podcasting? I'm like, these are two different verticals. How do you get to that?
But somehow I've combined them, and that's my career is genetic podcasting.
Very successful.
I would say is my main part. Thank you, Benny. So I started podcasting when I was like 16. So for me, that was 12 years ago, something like that. Closer to 13 years ago. Forgot how old I was for a moment. That was nice. And so I listened to a podcast and back in like 2008, and I was like, oh, this is cool. At first I was like, who would ever listen to an audio file that's an hour long? Like, this was 2008. Most people were not listening to podcasts. That wasn't a household term at the time. And then I was on like a flight, and then I was like, all right, well, I have nothing else to do. I guess I'll listen to this. And it was awesome. And then I learned that the hosts of that show were only a few years older than me. So I was like, oh, if they can figure it out, maybe I can too. So I started with a different show about the Hunger Games series. So total nerd. There was already too many Harry Potter podcasts. So I was like, all right, I'll go for the Hunger Games series, because that was just starting to get big. And kind of figured out podcasting over a year, I would say. And that's when I then launched the genetics podcast. So it's called DNA Today. So that's my flagship show. And I basically started it with selfish reasons. So it comes back to career entrepreneurship, because I was like, all right, I was going into my senior year of high school, and I was like, I really want to pursue this genetics career. I was thinking about genetic counseling, as I mentioned, wasn't completely sold on the career yet. I knew I'd work in genetics, but I was like, well, I got to learn a lot more about this. Like, if I want to pursue this, I got to start talking to people that work in different areas of genetics. But being a senior in high school, nobody was really taking me seriously, because like, they were saving their time for college students, which makes sense, right? Because people are a little bit further along in where they think they want to go with their career and educational journey. So I was like, well, if I start a podcast and invite people to come on the show to be interviewed, maybe they'll take my meetings. So that's kind of what ended up happening. So it was total selfish reasons I started the show, because I wanted to talk with people in the field to figure out my career. But I also wanted to network, start making those connections, because I didn't know, like, all right, well, maybe I'll end up getting an internship at this pharmaceutical company or at this lab or something, right? So being so early on in, you know, my education, even, I was just like, all right, well, let's just see how many doors I can open. And then just totally fell in love with podcasting as a platform. And it's such a low entry point. Like, I was using a microphone that came with my PlayStation, right? So, and I use like the Harry Potter series is a great mic stand because of how many books there are. So, you know, I just started out like in, you know, my childhood bedroom, just doing it and telling everybody, don't go upstairs. Like, you're going to hear the sound and all that, to now today being podcasting is my main source of income and all of the shows I produce and stuff. So it's been a cool journey, and just even seeing how big podcasting has gotten, because I used to have to explain it at parties like, oh, it's like an internet radio show. Now, when I say I work in podcasting, people are like, oh, cool. And they have other questions. Like, they know what a podcast is.
Right. It's been become more acceptable. Yes. And many more platforms have been created since then, for sure. But you mentioned doors opening. Did doors actually open for you with the podcast? I mean, in the career of DNA and other things that you might have wanted?
I believe every job I've had was the origin of that connection was the podcast. Mm. So in terms of networking, that was starting a podcast, obviously the best move I've done in my career, right? Because we've seen how far that's brought me. But networking alone, I mean, all of these random jobs, clients that I've had, I think all of them have linked back to the podcast. And even like my first salary job that I had, being a full-time genetic counselor, which now I've cut back to part-time just to be able to do all my podcasting. But, you know, my boss had listened to the show, and I came into the interview physically in person, came into the interview a little bit outside New York City where you are. And, you know, as we're walking to his office, like, he just got me from the waiting room. Just, hi, how are you? Right. We're about to sit down for the interview. He points at an office, says, oh, that's your office. I'm like, what do you mean that's my office? We didn't even do the interview yet. What's this guy saying? And when we sat down, we started chatting for a little bit. He's like, yeah, like, you know, the job is yours if you want it. I just wanted to make sure you are that person from the podcast. And like, you really, it's not a persona. And when I met with him, like, I very much am who I am on the air. Like, there's not like a huge, like, some people really put up, you know, a character kind of on, depending on what kind of show they have. That's not so much me. What you see is what you get. So I think that's just kind of an example of how powerful having a podcast, being a leader in your niche, but being able to make those connections too, and just networking. Like that has, I think, been the most successful aspect of my career, is all of the networking and what that has brought me.
That's awesome. That's unbelievable. That's huge. And that's a lesson that everybody should learn. And this is the point of the show, Midnight Market,
yeah,
to teach you like your midnight, you know, crunch and push for your success stories, you know, taking the midnight oil and like burning and churning, yep, you know, getting all that done. It pays off at the end. No doubt.
Cause I wouldn't be sitting here on this show probably, cause I'm sure you listened to the podcast before you interviewed me to see if I would get this gig. So if my show was bad or I didn't have one, you probably would have been like, I'm going to ignore this application. Right. I'm sure this played a role.
Of course,
deciding,
it played a role. No
all
doubt.
Right.
And, yeah, of course. And not just that, the quantity and the quality is what really pays off, because you started so early. So that means you're now in a position where you have how many already episodes in your podcast?
Yeah, almost 300.
I think thousands. No.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, if you add up all of my shows combined,
right,
it's probably so it's close to 1,000. Yeah, yeah, but DNA today is about 300.
Yep. No, yeah, that I know about. But I'm saying in the cumulative, because you do have it written down, over 1,700 shows that you've done already. I mean, episodes.
In
compilation. Besides the awards that you've won. Right? So
that's, yes, that's thank you. Man, so you're building me up today, Benny. I love it.
Why not? That's my job. I build people up. So what are the things that you've, what kind of peoples have you interviewed? Like what kind of peoples have you, engaged with besides DNA? Put DNA aside. Cause we got
the
gist of
DNA. Shows and—
Cause I want to know how I want to show peoples how, when you start with one, you kind of morph or even evolve into getting into other people's types of genres of podcast or genres of storytelling or of professionalism, so on and so forth.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, started with more of the genetic show and stuff. And then I think part of it is I established myself as being a leader in my niche. So that's really important to me. But it's been able to span out a little bit. Like I produce a couple shows in the rare disease space. So that's kind of a step, you know, it's a little, it's adjacent to genetics very much so, right, but you know, it's its own thing. And I produce a show that talks about, rare diseases, but also just medical challenges and people's stories and experiences. So that's called It Happened to Me. So I'm the executive producer there. I pop on as a co-host sometimes, especially when it's like super genetics heavy, and the hosts are retired lawyers. So they're not coming from that, but they have their own rare diseases. So they're kind of, you know, sharing their disabilities from that and everything.
Oh, wow.
But it's been interesting because I can take all of these skills and even connections that I have from my original show and bring that to the others. So there's even this great collaboration that happens that when I'm part of producing a new show, just launched a show a couple months ago called DNA Dialogues, which is the official podcast for the Journal of Genetic Counseling. So that was very exciting, just that I'm, you know, a major part of that. And with that, I'm like, all right, we're launching. Hey, is it cool if we do cross promotion between all the other podcasts that I'm involved in that have to do with rare disease, genetics, science, medical challenges, all of that? And of course, they're going to be like, yeah, let's do it. So because I have those connections, it's easy to just make it happen. And outside of my own shows, even guests, shows that I've been a guest on, right? So other science shows, I can then reach out to them and be like, hey, I launched this new show. Can we do cross promotion where we drop an advertisement on our shows about that show that's going to do a promo spot for us.
Right.
So having that cross swap. Yep.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just like, it's almost more of sitting down and thinking, okay, what else can I do with all these connections? Because it's just, the possibilities are limitless in terms of how much you can do and how much crossover happens. And it's exciting, even when you're looking for a guest or something. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm sure in the last 12 years of podcasting, I've interviewed someone or I know someone that knows someone that has this disorder that we're looking for a guest for. So I don't know. Networking is definitely one of my favorite aspects of entrepreneurship. And I think my biggest asset, I guess, of what I look at in terms of like what is most successful to the businesses that, or I guess, you know, one business, but a bunch of clients under that I've been able to build up.
No, that's awesome. That's very good. I mean, listen, there's no doubt you're a very accomplished person. No doubt that you are what you are. You're a star, right? Like everyone who would listen to this will understand. But one thing I would take away from what you've done, and this is very important for everybody to see, that if you don't put the work into it and the time into it, you're not going to see the fruits of your labor. So a lot of people's got to understand our entrepreneurship, project development is not an overnight success story. This is not a one-hit song that all of a sudden, even those who create those songs, take them decades to create sometimes those songs, right? So it's very rare that you have people that very young and whatever, and all of a sudden they're all overnight sensations, right? That's a rarity. So to become an overnight sensation is not going to happen for the 90% of the world, right? But if you work hard and do what you've done, then it will happen. That's not that, yeah. No doubt about that.
The first That's 6-7 years of the show, I didn't make any money from it. I was just using my own money to finance the show. So, wow. And I was able to do it relatively cheap. I created partnerships with places that would give me free hosting. So Squarespace at the beginning was like, hey, let's work together. We'll give you free hosting if you advertise for us. Great, right? So I started those relationships because I was a high schooler. I didn't have crazy money. And I also I didn't come from a family that had all these connections in genetics or healthcare or business. Like,
right.
You know, I figured it out on my own and built it on my own. So I think that's also something that sometimes people hear this and they're like, oh, one of your parents must have been into this. It's like, no, my parents were really supportive of all this and like, all right, yeah, do it. But they didn't have specific advice for me in terms of this kind of world. It was kind of like, all right, you do you, like, you know, in a, right, you know, in right. a great way so, that so. Emotionally supportive. But so I didn't, I started from nothing.
That's awesome. And I'm going to say a quote that I've created on my own, right?
This is okay, the let's quote hear it.
By Benny Rachmanov, right? I said it to a couple of people, but I'm going to say it now for live event.
Yeah, so whatever it's recorded.
All right, so it's one thing to make money. It's another thing to know how to make money. And that's the shtick. Most people know, okay, I go make money. I get a job. I go a career and someone pays me. But how do you make money?
Yeah.
That's already a different world, right? And it's not about money specific. It could be literally about anything. It's how. Yeah. The how is where people are getting lost, right? Mm-hmm. The knowing, the doing is a different story. Like, but you need to know first how to do, right? So that's the shtick that most people are failing. And that's where you come in, a person like Kira, who's an entrepreneur, who's done something from the beginning and she knows how. And how does she know how? Not because she was taught how, because she started and let the how come to her.
Yep. That's trial the and error, entrepreneurship. Right? Yeah, definitely, fake it till you make it. Like yeah, I was like, yeah. Let me try this. All right, that didn't really go anywhere. Let me pivot. And also just learning like, okay, once you have one revenue stream, thinking about how can I create other revenue streams? So I think that's also been something that's made us successful because it's not just podcast advertisements. Like our sponsorship packages have all kinds of different aspects to them. Social media promotion, including giveaways, newsletter features, having a full episode interview on the show, having our a website banner, something that's featured as soon as you go to our website about a company. But also I've developed a Patreon. So people that are really big, you know, I don't want to say fans, but people that are listening and really engaged with the content, especially for those that want to go into genetic counseling or looking for career guidance and mentorship. So all of these different revenue streams help because if one dries up, all right, I've got a couple more. Obviously, the sponsorship is going to be the main one. But, right. You know, as I said, I'm doing a lot of consulting work and helping other people produce their shows and launch their shows. So it's kind of, for me, it was a little scary that it was only in January, so a couple months ago, that I was like, all right, I'm going to step back from my full-time job salary where I'm like, all right, I know every week I'm getting this paycheck to now only working a couple days a week there. So I'm getting some money, but you know, that was a leap to be like, all right, I'm really diving more into this entrepreneurship, but being able to diversify, I guess, where money is coming from so that it's more of a safety blanket too.
Right, but your reward will be for sure much greater in podcasting. I mean, besides the fact that you're doing what you're doing, you already know the information. By the way, you're taking one of the most complex information and ideas and knowledge base, right? And you're disseminating it to a simplistic form for people.
Right.
and for the public. So for sure, that itself is worth millions of dollars at the end of the game, right? When you're coming into doing podcasts and the bill. And by the way, I think it's not just DNA. I think it is the ability that you have now, because you technically, or not technically, you essentially trained yourself within these years to learn how to disseminate complex information. And yeah. That's a skill that you can never go and learn in college. You're not going to learn that in college. It's and for
it
sure
can,
not
it can
happen.
Help. Like I would say grad school for me was helpful in that, but I feel like those skills were more developed through my podcasting than they were in grad school. Cause grad school was focused on being able to do that. But I think it's one of those things that you just got to keep doing it. And I listen to early episodes of the show and I cringe, right? I mean, I'm fine. It's out there, right? Like, but it's amazing to see how far I've come and just how much better of a speaker I am, and also the confidence, right? So like when I was a little high schooler, I hated public speaking. I would not believe that I would be on a stage talking to hundreds of people in person. I was in LA a couple of weeks ago. Like, so it's just like, oh, wow. You know, just, I think just personal development wise too, it's been awesome just looking at it from that perspective. But yeah, that's definitely a skill to be able to interview people, keep the conversation going. But when a guest is talking about something that I'm like, ooh, this is getting a little nitty gritty, and most listeners are probably not going to be able to follow along. Then when they kind of finish talking, I'm like, oh, so interesting. So basically blah, 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 blah. And I water it down, but I don't want to do it in a way that it makes the guests look like, oh, why are you just explaining what I just explained? So it's tough. You're like, you're kind of trying to balance it all.
But a guest has to be prepped in advance that he or she should know, or they should know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That, you know, whatever position they're at, they need to understand they're not seasoned like you are in understanding how the regular person and the layman will understand these complex issues. And I think they got to understand that, yes, you might be repetitive, you might be simplifying their words and let them agree to that simplification. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't mind if someone does that to me in a podcast and they want to say, I'm like, yeah, that's what it means. That's what I'm trying to say.
I probably did it in the first episode. It's just like so natural for you to do it. So honestly, I may have. And it may even just, sometimes it's not even because the guest was confusing, but it's so that the listener hears it twice because it was that important. So it's like, it's twofold that sometimes, like if you said something really important, I'm like, wow, like, you know, it's just, I love how you phrased blah, 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 right? Because it's like, I really want people to soak that in because it was like, to me, one of the highlights of the episode. And I felt that already in the moment.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, in general, When you, like, this is also important. How do you tie, like, we had this with Chad, right? And we dropped our show and Chad's show also, right? So with Chad, right? So with Chad's show, we spoke about time management and balance. For sure, there's got to be some sort of balance that you do, like life, family, you know, and with work itself. Like, it's not necessarily, you know, 24-7. I mean, like, I'm not like me, 24-7, I'm focused. Yeah. like, what's the story? What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah. So I think it's changed a little bit now that I'm more of an entrepreneur than someone that is working set hours. So only 2 days a week am I seeing patients, and it's, you know, 10-hour block for that. But, you know, it's even like this past weekend, I had a little bit more flexibility with less going on. So I was like, oh, great. I worked for most of the day Saturday, a chunk of the day on Sunday, because I have a big trip coming up. So I'm going to Japan for like 2 weeks, which I'm so excited about. But I can do that because I can say, all right, well, I'm going to work, you know, kind of every day leading up to that, except for the day before, to be able to rest for this big trip. Right. It's like a 13-hour time difference. It's wild. It's 16 hours. I can't remember. New York versus West Coast.
Yeah, no, it's about 13 hours. It's about 13, 14 hours. I've been there. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. We'll have to sidebar about that after the show. Yeah. But so even with that, it's like, you know, I'm not always working a 9-to-5. Like, it definitely differs. Even like this morning, you know, I popped over to, you know, my girlfriend's sister's house, drop off something, you know, and even it's like, all right, doing this. I'm like, all right, well, I have this meeting as long as I'm back at that time. So I think it's just prioritizing. And for me, it's really coming up with my to-do list and breaking that up over the week. I'm like, all right, what needs to happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and breaking it up that way and trying to very much work ahead of time. So for all the shows I produce, I really try to have us be a month ahead. So everything's recorded, produced, and scheduled about a month ahead. Does that always happen? No, but that's my goal.
That's a very good goal. I mean, not like me.
Life happens. It's like whatever.
I get exhausted doing so much work. It's ridiculous. But I believe that when you're young, this is when you got to do it. This is the time. When are you going to do it? When you're 50, 60, and what's going to happen?
Yeah. And I think it's so important, like on the financial side too, that it's like, if you can make a lot of money, I'm 28 right now, like looking at maxing out my Roth IRA, right? So that money grows tax-free, making sure that back when I was salaried, that I was, you know, then meeting the, how much my salary job was going to match for my 401k, making sure it's a little more than that. So I'm not losing out on that free money. So just making sure that, you know, you're investing money where you're supposed to. And then, you know, other money, I'm like, all right, well now what's my third priority? All right. Just, you know, a general S&P 500 account that it's like, you know, putting that in now, because hopefully I'm not taking that money out until I retire at, let's say, 70 or something like that. Oh my goodness. Is that going to grow so much? Right. We've had a great couple of years since 2020 in terms of how the stock market has done, but it's just so important to me. If I can make a lot of money in my 20s, that's going to grow so much. You're going to live off the compound interest, not that principal. And that's about all I know about finances. That's the limit of my knowledge.
That's pretty good. That's very good. I mean, I like that. I like that you're literally thinking of every avenue of protecting your life. You're basically the rewards that belong to you and that you're deserving of from your high end, you know, devotion to what you're doing. Like that, everyone should really take that in consideration. Like I always tell people, you cannot help other people if you haven't helped yourself first.
Right.
That's the reality. You have to help yourself first and you have to establish yourself first. And then you give people opportunities like we have now that we're working together. That's an opportunity, right? You didn't have to say yes or the other one. We still have other pending individuals that we can call back on and to add more podcasts to our parent company, iShook. But at the same time, and between me and you, it was you and Chad were the first ones I wanted in, because you guys were more, you were more, you know, into it. You were more, I want to do it. So I go to whoever shows the interest of, you know, effective interest and pushing interest and go getter interest, that's
and
the
that
person
they're dedicated to it and not just like, yeah, sounds good. Like, and kind of non-committal. It's like, you want to be like, I'm into this. I'm committed. You know, and looking at when you do take on new roles, that it's like you're looking at, okay, can I manage this into my schedule? How does this look? But also of looking at, okay, well, another source of income is kind of always a good thing, right? But it's like, as an entrepreneur, you also have to be used to, you could not make any money for weeks and then you can make a ton of money. So I'm sure you experience this all the time it's like, it's not like a salary job where you're counting on, oh, okay, well, I know at the end of the week, I get this much, whatever. So that too, it's a different lifestyle in terms of like, you know, looking at, okay, what are your monthly expenses and where can you cut back? And when you do get a lot of money, it's not like you could just, I mean, I'm not someone that just goes out and spends money. I'm like, sweet, that I'm investing that in here or whatever. But yeah, that's a whole nother aspect that is something to get used to of like, you can't count on a paycheck. So it's so different, you're not paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, right.
No, which most of America is. So for a lot of people, like that's a major shift that you have to be like, you know, have a certain amount of almost savings when you are switching from a lot of people. And I'm sure that listen to this, you know, we talk about side hustle CEO is like our tagline, that for many years I was working other jobs so that I could say, all right, good. So I can build up, you know, I don't want to say wealth necessarily, but build up my account so that, all right, when I go and take the leap to have this be my primary role in income, if things don't happen for a while or it kind of dries up for a while, I'm okay. Right. So I think that's important of like, I know Dave Ramsey and other people talk about like a 6 month or, you know, certain amount of time that's like your emergency fund that you could live off of this for X amount of time. And I think that's so important for entrepreneurs.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, that's no doubt about it. But I mean, but people also have to understand, and it's not about making the $1 million, right?
No.
To be an entrepreneur, you got to first make your 20, your first 100. Like, can you balance 100,000, 120,000 a year on the project you're doing? And if you can do that 120,000, the million is going to come. The two is going to come, right? But that's the thing. People don't have that ability to do that. And that's where the complication comes out about. And I think that's really what I want to teach people. So I don't want to teach people this 10x of a million, 10x of a billion. No, 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 no.
Be realistic when you start.
Yeah, I think those events that big players do, you know, and I don't want to mention who they are, but they are big players. I think the event that we hopefully will be doing is the 100x, meaning the 100,000. How do you get to the $100,000 mark a year for the projects that you're doing? And I think that's important. Like, that means 100 net. I'm not talking about 100 gross, 100 net.
That's important because a lot of people, when you start out, your expenses are more than your income.
Right.
For a lot of companies. Would you agree with that?
But the question is, why is it that way? So you have to understand, why is it that way? Yeah, the virtual.
I was going to say, you're becoming a ghost on me. Oh, what is happening? You're slowly disappearing. I'm going to have to interview myself.
technology today. What are you going to do, right? Hopefully soon I'll make maybe a prop wall or something. You know,
there you go.
More aesthetic. But
I think hopefully we'll be recording some of these in person, you know.
Oh, definitely. We got
a lot of good things to come to Midnight Market.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's see where we get at. I mean, we gotta build this thing up. And I think that's the also important thing. What I looked about and what I look of is that we're building a whole big, huge thing right now with the podcasts that we're doing in iShook, right?
Yeah, you're building a podcast network through iShook.
And that's what we want. And we want a one-stop shop where you advertise and you get monetized and you get conversions. Besides all these other apps and products that we have in iShook, I mean, this is really what we want to do. We want to create a system, and we are creating the system of a guaranteed 80 to 99%, 95% guarantee of conversion rates on your ads, and that's what we're trying to do. So we'll get there. I mean, I think we're definitely gonna get there fast with you and Chad and every other one that we're gonna, you know, get on board here with Midnight Market Show, and then iShook Experience Show with Chad, and then the iShook Show itself, the iShook corporate YouTube channel, and all the channels that we use. And I, by the way, I always tell people, you got to be everywhere. You can't be in one place. You got to be everywhere. Totally agree. It's like you used to have a product, right? If you had a certain pants or Levi's, they used to be in every store, Kmart. They used to be in Macy's. They used to be in Marshalls. I'm quoting stores that the millennials and Generation X might not know about.
Well, I'm a millennial, I guess, heavier on the millennial side, and I know all these places. But yes, yeah, some of them are. I don't know if they're quite around anymore.
Marshalls, Kmart are gone.
Yeah. I don't know. Is Marshall's gone? I know like TJ Maxx is still going. Maxinistas are out there.
But not in New York City. I don't think in New York City. Yeah, you're right. Mm. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's, you know, that's the world, the way it works.
Yeah. No, it's like, you got to be where people already are. You can't ask people to come to you. You have to come to them. So I think that's important.
Right. And if you need something, you're the one who has to pursue it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like if I need something from you, I will pursue you in request of that, what I need, right? For let's say a certain project or whatever, or vice versa, right? That, and that's what people forget. Like people feel that they're entitled. No, why didn't you give it to me?
Yeah.
Why do I gotta give it to you?
You gotta pitch it.
Right. Like you gotta.
You can't twiddle your thumbs and wait for it. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's where I think where personally with what I get resonance from you and what you've done is that you went and got it. You didn't wait for someone to give it to you. And that's, I think, the difference between midnight and dawn, right?
Dawn.
that it's either you're in the midnight owl and you're getting your food, or you're just waiting for the morning to wake you up. And then, you know, hopefully the morning will give you something, right? Yeah. So, you know, it's got to be, you got to run for it. You got to run.
And like, you will fail. Like, there are so many people that I, you know, invite to come on the show. I never hear from, whatever. But I'm like, you got to shoot your shot, right? And same thing with sponsors. Like, you know, I'll approach sponsors, we don't have the budget for that right now, or it's not a fit, whatever. But it's like, I'll come back to them every once in a while and then it'll happen. You know, I recently got a sponsor that we've been talking for years and it finally is happening. So it's just like, you know, sometimes it's just not the right time, or like you're not quite big enough for them yet, or whatever it is. But, you know, I think that's been a big part of like, I don't get hung up on failures. I'm like, all right, well, what can I learn from this? And then take that into my next project, my next goal, whatever that is. Because it's like, if you start wallowing in like I didn't get this, I'm so disappointed, that's not going to work well. I mean, give yourself some time. If it's a major failure, be like, I deserve to be able to like wallow a little bit, but there's got to be an expiration on it just to like move on to your next thing.
Wow. I think this has been a great show. I think we're going to end the show at this moment. It's been awesome learning and knowing who Kira is. And everybody should stay tuned to our Midnight Market. Subscribe to our YouTube channels, both Midnight Market YouTube channel, both Aisha Cole YouTube channel, as many channels as possible that we have. I'm driving everybody crazy.
Social media. Yeah, right. I think our main shtick is LinkedIn and YouTube, I think, is our main avenues, as well as Apple and Spotify and stuff.
Don't forget to download ClickTok. It's our new app, ClickTok.
Yes.
Hopefully it'll take over. Will be the next TikTok.
Yes. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
ClickTok, people. It's right there. Click ClickTok for people that are only listening to the audio version of this show.
Right. That's a good one, Kira. See, that's why you have Akira on a show like this. She knows.
Because not everybody's looking at us or looking at what I'm pointing at. So, you know, you gotta bring in just the audio listeners, because I'm someone that doesn't tend to watch video interviews. I tend to be on a walk or running if I'm really fit. So yeah, we got to, cater to the audience, but thank you so much. This was a really fun conversation. And I think it just kind of is a good example of what a lot of episodes are going to be like in the future, where it's like, we have a topic we're going to talk about, but it's very much just like conversational based. And we're just like seeing where it goes, which I really like.
Definitely. And I love that too. And then hopefully we'll get more guests. We have, hopefully soon, a few of them pending. And listen, guys, stay tuned, comments, and be in touch. We're going to do a lot of competitions and giveaways as well, because we want people to engage within our story and get rewarded for engaging within our stories. So see you, everybody. Be well.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.